everybody, and welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is Jisuki. Thanks so much for staying with WGN Radio. Another unusually warm day. It's gray out there, but hey, I will take it. Also, stocks making the biggest moves midday. Amazon, American Airlines, and Rite Aid, along with many more. We've got a lot coming up on the show today concerning your money in the second half of the show. You know, those pesky robocalls? I know they're so annoying, but we have a consumer credit expert that's going to tell us how you can actually make some money off of those robocalls, especially if you're getting a lot of them. And in addition, he's going to give us some credit advice if you need to fix your credit or just sort of a credit check you need to do to make sure that you're credit ready for 2020. But we're going to start off the show with the Better Business Bureau's Steve Burness. Hi, Steve.
Hi, G. How are you?
Fantastic. Hope you had a great holiday week so far.
I did. Very warm one.
Well, of course, now everybody is waking up and looking at those gifts that maybe they didn't love as much as they pretended to when they opened them. And you're going to tell us how to safely exchange or return gifts.
Yes, exactly. I think everybody, about 80% of the people, somebody will return a gift this year. And unfortunately, you know, refunds and exchanges are a privilege, not a right. Most consumers think they can automatically return it in any time frame they want, wherever they want, and however they want. Unfortunately, you have to adhere to the corporate policies of each individual store. So what I mean by that is every store has their own different policy, and most consumers don't ask that question before buying it. So some people go in a store and realize maybe too late, maybe beyond the time period, or may have, but what some consumers are frustrated with exchanges only. And so what it means, if you get an ugly tie, unfortunately, you got to exchange it for another ugly tie. Because that's their corporate policy. So you have to adhere to their policies, but consumers need to go out sooner than later because there's always a time limit on refunds, and you don't want to be past that limit because you never know when that person bought it for you, when they bought it for you, what date.
That is so true. Of course, we're going to have a lot more tips from Steve Burness with the Better Business Bureau. That's going to be coming up along with some scams that he's going to tell us about as well, especially with people planning for vacation, and that's going to be coming up after the break. But right now, let's check in with Jordan Burnfield, who's got a check on weather and the markets. Steve Burness, president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois, is joining us. It seems this time of year, I'm usually stuck behind somebody that's arguing with a sales clerk about why they can't return an item. And you're saying that make sure that you're checking the return policy. It's a privilege, not necessarily a right, to be able to return or exchange a gift.
Exactly. You just have to adhere to their policies, and everybody seems they have to understand they can return whatever they want, and they'll get all their money back, and which is sometimes not the case. So consumers have to call before they're going out, and if you bought it online, you know, what's the return policy online? Is it different from offline? And whether or not you have a receipt, because if you don't have a receipt, the store will probably give you the lowest amount they sold that product for during the Christmas time period. So if it went on sale, and a person who bought it for you didn't buy it on sale, you will get the lowest amount. So please go out and use the receipt you have or ask the person who gave it to you for the receipt, and hopefully they'll give you a gift receipt.
Well, I always tape the receipt in the box, but I think when you don't get a receipt, it tends to mean that maybe the gift was purchased or re-gifted to you. But you're saying also keep the original packaging. But what do we do also for online gifts if we've got something from Amazon? How do we safely get that back to Amazon?
Well, obviously, every place has their own policy. So whether it's Amazon or somebody else, you have to really ask, you know, what their policies are ahead of time and find out whether there's any shipping fees are charged for returning items, or sometimes electronic items will have restocking fees for some locations as well. So you better do your due diligence before doing that. And some online retailers, you know, will provide you some, you know, pre-printed return forms to make it easier and expedite the matter. But again, every company has their own policy, so it's best to check with the company before going out or before sending it out.
Well, love that info, Steve, especially because it will save us time, energy, and money as well, and the hassle. Okay, so a lot going on, especially with free trial offers. And then for me, I know that I'm a big sucker for when I see one of my favorite celebrities endorsing an item online, and it seems to constantly pop up, whether I'm on Facebook or Instagram. One of my favorite celebs is saying, try this because it will change your life.
Exactly. And so really, it's a billion-dollar racket that's going on right now with these fake celebrity endorsements and free up with gifts. or free offers, rather. And they're using celebrities to make it believe that they're endorsing this product when actually they're not. They're using their likeness in an illegal way. And as you may recall, it's Ellen DeGeneres and sued about 100 individuals earlier this month for people using her likeness in their ads when all of it is not true at all. What Ellen said the best is probably, if my lips are not moving, I did not endorse it. So consumers think, you know, what kind of harm-free trial? They just have to give my credit card number. Well, it ends up costing you a lot of money because they keep retargeting you. They keep using your credit card information, and it keeps sending you to products. And sometimes the credit card companies do side with the organization because you signed up for it. You agreed to these trials. So when people look to their credit card company, sometimes they're not helpful in this situation. So it's best to check out the offer of the company, not only with the Better Business Bureau, but whomever is endorsing it. So if it's Ellen or somebody else, go to their website, make sure their product's on their website before going to that third-party site, and which could be fall into a trap.
Because when you tend to sign up for a free trial offer, it's nearly impossible then to cancel that free trial.
Exactly. That's what happens. They get your credit card number and you're agreeing to, you know, these payments. And that's why the credit card companies, you know, some of them, you know, will continue with these charges. And that you're supposed to call them and cancel or give them 3 months' notice. Unfortunately, it's hard to get to them, and you can't get them easily. So you can't cancel, and you get frustrated. And sometimes even consumers don't even realize it's on a credit card statement until months pass by. We all seen these internet ads. They're all over the place, and they sound intriguing. And a lot of them are miracle products, you know, weight and wrinkles, white teeth, whatever it may be, but they're all ploy to steal money or separate you from your money.
Well, it makes sense, especially if it's a celebrity that you feel a kinship towards and you think that they're an honest, they seem to have a great personality and they seem to be someone that wouldn't endorse something that wasn't real and wouldn't work. So then you think, oh, well, they've endorsed it, so it's got to be good. But that's not necessarily the case.
That's not necessarily the case. And that's how these scams get away with it. And people keep buying it. Billions of dollars is lost each and every year because they believe the celebrity's endorsing it. And they say it's a great product or a miracle drug. I've got to try it. And unfortunately, these celebrities are having a difficult time in trying to get these websites down. And it's like the whack-a-mole game. Then they knock one down, another one will pop up.
Yes.
And it's just sad to see that. I mean, consumers are losing billions of dollars each and every year. And we can only get as many of these companies as possible. And unfortunately, the authorities, by the time they, you know, close one down, another one will open up. But, I mean, the FTC has, you know, received, you know, given back consumers millions of dollars. And that tells you something, that there's a lot more money out there that consumers are out, and it goes into the billions of dollars.
Well, Steve, I know the weather is mild right now. Let's stick with these scams. And you've got, I know people are thinking about vacation for when it gets colder. So this is when people start looking for when it's going to be so frigid and we're sick of the gray and the cold and come February and March. You say watch out for rental scams amongst vacation property listings as well.
We just, you know, the Better Business Bureau just issued a recent study on these types of scams. And these are apartment listings or vacation sites when in actuality, you're just a scammer who takes a picture of it and puts it on their website, and you think it's a valid offer, when truly it's not even an offer. It's actually a fake listing. So it's millions of dollars. We anticipate about 5 million consumers have fallen victim to this already recently. And we're trying to get the word out. There's a lot of great vacation rental properties out there, but unfortunately there's some scammers who will take the information and use it to their advantage and separating people from their money. And it's a growing, not only national, it's a worldwide problem. It's happening all over the world. But unfortunately, consumers are falling victim to it, and they're not doing their due diligence or, you know, checking on the offer or the individual who's selling it. And a lot of these offers have unconventional methods of payment. What I mean by that, they might ask you to immediately send wire a check, or they might ask you to send in gift cards, or sending the information off your gift card, or wire us the money, or you lose the place. Again, these all look like great advertisements and great, you know, offers, but unfortunately, the Better Business Bureau has heard from many consumers who've lost thousands of dollars when they get there. There's no vacation spot for them, and there's no home or listing available when they try to rent it.
So these are actual vacation rentals that are listed on legitimate websites such as Airbnb, VRBO, and HomeAway. But you just have to look out for signs. And one of them is that if they do ask for money up front in any way, that's generally a sign that it's a scam.
Yeah, any money up front without seeing the place or without, you got to act quickly, do something quickly. That's what the Better Business Bureau always says, is the tip off to the rip off. And any unconventional methods of sending payment that you would not do in a normal course of business. And that's what they want you to do, because they don't have this place. They want your money or your credit card information as soon as possible, because they can start using your credit card or they can try to steal your identity in another way. Just millions of consumers are being affected by this, and it's just a growing problem, and people don't realize how much is out there.
Well, so should I call the actual owner and talk to them on the phone? How do I make sure that this is a real place? Because I won't be able to go and check it out ahead of time, especially if I'm traveling overseas or, you know, to an other side of the country.
Well, you got to check out the offer itself or the person, do some research, do some Google Earth on the address, do a reverse listing on the picture to see if that picture appears somewhere else, because a lot of times the scammers will use the same type of picture. And then actually, you know, call, you know, use Google Earth, like I said, and try to find out in that area if there is truly a place, and go online and do some digging itself. And if you don't trust the individual or their firm, if it's a red flag, you feel something's wrong, then I would move on to something else, because usually that's the first sign that something's wrong.
Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois, always telling us to do our due diligence, be skeptical, and do our research.
Check out first.
Yes, and where can we find out more information about the BBB?
Sure. Before you buy or hire BBB, at BBB.org, more information on organizations, on 4 million organizations in North America.
Well, thank you, Steve. We hope you have a happy new year.
Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. Right now, it's time for the Chicago Inno Minute.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke, Senior Editor at Chicago Inno, with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know.
In recent years, Chicago has cemented itself as a popular place to build food and beverage startups, with local startup success stories like RX Bar, which was acquired for $600 million, and Simple Mills, a popular gluten-free baking mix. Not to mention $100 million plus VC funds from Kraft Heinz and Tyson Foods, Chicago is known as a viable place to build a food startup. Recently, the Food Foundry, a local accelerator program that mentors food startups, revealed the companies in its latest cohort of promising food ventures. The companies include Tablee, a startup that makes a smartwatch for restaurant servers that alerts them when diners need something, and Sociavore, a website builder and e-commerce platform for restaurants.
That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. To learn more, head to chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
A lot more coming up on the Winterest Business Lunch, including how you can make money off of those pesky robocalls. I know that every listener has a different way of dealing with them. I tend to not answer them. The full-time producer that works on the Winterest Business Lunch actually pretends as though she's speaking with her grandmother. She actually answers the call and then says, "Grandma, I'm busy. This is not a good time." So I don't know how you deal with it, but you can actually make money off of it, because the Telephone Consumer Protection Act and the telemarketing sales rule makes it illegal for companies to use an automated dialer to call or text your phone without permission. And did you know that the calls average more than 17 calls per American in a single month? And it sounds like folks have been making a couple thousand dollars off of making sure that they get paid for these robocalls. So there you go. That's coming up on the Winterest Business Lunch. Welcome back to the Winterest Business Lunch. I'm Jisook Yee. I wanted to give you a quick tidbit. A woman who studied 600 millionaires found five major differences in how the super rich spend their time. Of course, millionaires aren't your everyday people. This article comes from the Business Insider. In order to reach their seven-figure status, they occupy their minds and time a little differently than the average Joe. And the book that this is based off of is The Next Millionaire Next Door, Enduring Strategies for Building Wealth. And this is where she surveyed more than 600 millionaires in America. So a person's daily activities can influence how much wealth they build and the great big differences that she found were in five major categories, and they were reading, exercising, perusing social media, as in that most of them did not, sleeping, how much sleep they got, and how much they worked throughout the day. So there you go. Those were the differences. Reading, exercising, social media, sleeping, and working. So check out this article if you want to know how millionaires spend their time differently and why it's tied to their wealth. So on the Business Insider, if you want to check it out. And the book, again, is called The Next Millionaire Next Door, Enduring Strategies for Building Wealth. And this was written by and based on research by Sarah Stanley Fallow. F-A-L-L-A-W. Okay, so I told you at the top of the show about the pesky robocalls, and I said that you can even make money off of getting these robocalls. I know it sounds too good to be true, but we have a consumer advocate, consumer credit expert as well, Doc Compton with us. Hi, Doc.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic to have you join us. Okay, so let's just talk about these robocalls. They're so annoying. 5.7 billion robocalls in 1 month alone. Americans are being bombarded by these calls.
Well, they absolutely are. And having spoken with a number of these robocallers, believe it or not, in person, they all basically say the same thing. We're not going anywhere. It's too lucrative. And although, if you're like me, you probably haven't ever bought anything from a robocaller, there are people who do. And that's why they just refuse to give up. They told us flat out that they're not going to do it. They're just making too much money off of it.
So, Doc, this is actually illegal. This is against the rules.
It is. There's a federal statute in place called the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. It was passed in 1991, and its original intent, primary intent, was to stop the spam faxes that people were sending out. And ironically, it was for a lot of the same things that we get robocalls for now, like health insurance or travel, cruises, things like that. Well, people were complaining because back then the physical faxes required that you print out using, you know, very expensive paper and toner cartridges and so on. And people complained that, you know, they were being made to pay for advertisements that they never asked for, didn't want. So they complained, and Congress being Congress, they passed a law that made it illegal for people to do that without your express prior consent. And they included a few lines about cellular technology, even though cellular wasn't what it is now. People back then were paying, you know, $1, $1.50 a minute for these calls. And a lot of times people were calling people's cell phones. And of course, now you're receiving it and it's costing you $1, $1.50, $2 to receive a call from a telemarketer that you didn't want to talk to in the first place.
Well, I'm talking with consumer advocate and consumer credit expert Doc Compton. We're going to have a lot more with him, and you're going to be hanging out with us just until after this break. Right, Doc?
Absolutely.
Okay, right now it is time for the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Healthway Services, which does business as Zen Leaf, is set to open a marijuana dispensary on the busy Route 59 in Aurora. The City Council voted in October to allow the sales. The Naperville City Council voted against recreational dispensaries, but voters will get a say in a referendum question in the March primary. Marijuana becomes legal in Illinois next Wednesday. The Illinois Gaming Board has moved to revoke the license of video gambling operator Rick Heidner for allegedly offering a $5 million illegal inducement to the owner of a gambling parlor chain. That decision made after Heidner's name came up in a federal search warrant of then-State Senator Martin Sandoval's offices. A spokesman calls it a smear campaign. A close advisor to Boeing's ousted CEO will also leave the company. Mike Luddig was Boeing's general counsel from 2006 until this spring. I'm James Sears, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Continuing our conversation with consumer advocate Doc Compton, he was just telling us about the Telephone Consumer Protection Act and the telemarketing sales rule that makes it illegal for companies to use an automated dialer to call or text your phone without permission. But this is still happening, right, Doc?
It is, and it's if anything, it's accelerating rather than stopping. Despite our best efforts and despite the efforts of the FTC and the FCC levying fines and so on, it's not getting any better anytime soon, but we've managed to find something that seems to keep them from calling a little bit.
Okay, now this just sounds too good to be true, so you have to fill us in.
Well, you know, that's the thing. The biggest struggle, I get asked all the time, what's the toughest part of this? And I always say, getting people to believe that it actually really isn't too good to be true. It really does work. Excuse me. The basic premise behind this is that if you can find who it is that's behind the call, you can actually make legally a demand for compensation with a pre-litigation demand letter, or you can actually go and file lawsuits against these people. And the trick is, because as everyone knows, they spoof the number or they use a fake number that shows up on your caller ID. And that makes it problematic because you can't call them back and get any information and so on. Well, what we've done is developed a number of different strategies based on who it is that's calling to help you collect information during the call that allows you to actually trace them. And then once you trace them, you send a pre-litigation demand letter that tells them, hey, you broke the law. The law says this is what you owe me for the law, and we fully intend to pursue our rights if you're not going to pay up. And you'd be amazed how often these guys simply take the easy route and just pay up.
And of course, you have to have the letters and the right legal verbiage. And this is the kit that you have that is for sale that can help people actually make some settlement money off of these robocalls.
Yeah, the website is robocalls.cash. And it's been around for a little over a year. I've actually been doing this for about 6 years, and we stumbled on it. As you mentioned, I'm a consumer credit expert, and I was running the consumer credit section of a law firm, and the people that had hired us often to do credit repair for them or defend them in cases from, you know, debt collectors were suing them. Those debt collectors were often harassing these people. And they would call them 10 times a day with these automated dialers, which is how we learned about this statute, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. And we started using it against debt collectors because they would call on a $500 debt. They would call 10 times in a given day. Well, the penalty for violating the Telephone Consumer Protection Act is $500 per call.
So that could pay for the debt.
Absolutely. And even better, if you can demonstrate that they called willfully without your prior written consent, then that is even better because it triples the amount that you can be eligible for.
So
it's absolutely huge. When you get to some of these cases, as I mentioned, you know, you got 10 calls times $1,500 per call, that's 15 grand. And they're calling about a $500 debt. So, you know, as the law firm, we would call and say, hey, we represent so-and-so. You called them 10 times. Would you like to subtract the $500 you say they owe you from the $15,000 you now owe them? And, of course, we got their attention pretty quickly, and we started putting money in people's pockets pretty quickly. Well, then I just kind of started trying to do it individually for myself, and I kind of let it go. I semi-retired in 2016, wrote a book, which I think we'll probably talk about in a little bit, but the basic thing was I couldn't get anything done because I was getting calls 15 to 20 a day, and it was for the same kinds of things that I'm sure your listeners are getting. It's health insurance or auto warranty, student loan forgiveness, tax relief, those kinds of things. A lot of home services, things like air duct cleaning, or I'm in Texas, so we have roofing. That's a big thing here. You know, after a big storm, the roofs all get torn up. And it got to the point that I just couldn't get anything done, so I started going after them individually. And, you know, fast forward a year and a half later, here we are.
So you created this kit so that it would be easy for people to do and learn what you do and go ahead and have the demand letters in order to seek a settlement. It's a nominal fee. It's under $50 for the kit versus what potentially you could reap in rewards from the settlement money.
Yeah, there's people, and you know, many of your listeners may have actually seen, we've actually had news coverage there in Chicago. My friend Samantha Chapman and over at ABC did a story right there in Chicago. We've had people that have made tens of thousands of dollars. There's a few that have made hundreds of thousands of dollars off of these things. So you didn't
set out to make money off of this kit. This is just sort of what happened. You were describing that you were already working in a law firm, and this is what ended up happening. So you created this kit.
Yeah, exactly. It was really more about stopping the calls than anything else. And if you look at the cover of the kit, you know, it says stopping the calls and making them pay.
Give me the website again and the name of your book.
It's robocalls.cash, and the kit is called Turning Robocalls into Cash. Pretty simple.
Awesome. And then, of course, you've worked for many years as a consumer credit expert. And before we run out of time, I wanted to just go over, you said you have just five simple rules that you say that everybody sort of needs to check up on, important tips for anyone listening to make sure that their credit's right in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. The book that I referenced a minute ago is called...
Talking to you down the line.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. The book is called Credit Ready in 5 Simple Steps. And basically what it does is takes people that are specifically those preparing for a major finance purchase, a home or a car, and gives them 5 things that they can absolutely do by themselves with no help from any professionals to get themselves ready. The first thing they need to do is they absolutely positively need to know where they stand. And the easiest way to do that is to get a copy of their credit report. Now, you can get it without scores from credit report, annualcreditreport.com, or there's a number of online vendors. We all know many of our credit cards now offer these kinds of services. But you definitely want to check all 3 bureaus, not just 2. That's some of the downside to some of the Credit Karma and Credit Sesame. They only list 2 of the bureaus. You want to get all 3. That's the first part.
Got it. Doc, and I only have about 30 seconds left, so can you give us the fourth really quickly?
You got it. No problem. Once you know where you're at, then you've got to basically read and understand what's on your report. If you don't know, let me know. I'll help you. Third thing is correct any errors that you find through credit repair or on your own. The fourth step is if you don't have any credit, you need to establish some. And we'll tell you how to do that. The fifth and final is managing the credit that you have. That's the biggest part. People, you know, hear a bunch of different rumors and a bunch of so-called gurus explaining it. What this book does is gives you a handful of tips that you really absolutely need to know to get the most out of the credit that you have right now.
Well, thank you so much, Doc Compton. He's a consumer credit expert and a consumer advocate. We so appreciate you being with us, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks so much.
The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.